1, 2, 1, 2.
All right, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, radio family. My name is Arnold Jolivet II. Welcome to this week's edition of the Eagle's Nest. We are excited to be with you. We are here live from Radio Studios in sunny Baltimore, Maryland. You can reach us on WOLB 1010 AM and online. We are on the World Wide Web at WOLBBaltimore.com. Feel free to call into the studio. Our call-in number is 410-481-1010. That's 410-481-1010. And if you're out of the Baltimore metropolitan area, you can call toll free at 877-704-1010. That's 877-704-1010. We have a jam-packed show for you today, and we actually have a full studio today. One part of our focus for today's show, as we approach back to school, yes, that is back to school. I know as I say that, a lot of parents are probably cheering and doing high fives as we talk about the kids going back to school in less than a week, but who's counting? So we're excited today to have some of our young people in the studio today to just talk a little bit about what their summer was like, and as we approach the school year, what they're actually looking forward to for the school year. So, you know, today is going to be dedicated, a part of the show is going to be dedicated to just hearing from our young people. Very rarely do we have an opportunity or a platform where our young people can have a voice to talk about what's on their mind or what they look forward to the school year. So in the studio today, we have Aaron. Good morning, Aaron. How are you today? Or good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good. We also have Nia. How are you today, Nia?
Good. Thank you.
All right. We have Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How are you? We also have Isaiah.
Hi.
And representing the adults in the studio, because I'm feeling outnumbered, we also have Yolanda Sonier. Good afternoon, Yolanda. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you very much.
Good, good, good. So one thing I just want to ask the kids that are in the studio today, and again, if you're an educator, if you're a parent, or if you're a child, feel free to call into the studio today at 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. First thing we want to just talk about is a little bit about the summertime. You know, summer has gone so quickly. It's really been a blur how fast it's actually gone. And so I want to ask you, Aaron, what was your summer like this year? What did you enjoy most about your summer?
What I enjoyed most about my summer was that we did a lot of fun things, and we went to Hershey, and I got on a lot of rides.
Oh, wow. So you went to Hershey Park?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay. Good, good, good. What about you, Isaiah? What was the summer like for you? What did you enjoy most about your summer?
I enjoyed going to the Nickelodeon Hotel.
Oh, wow, the Nickelodeon Hotel. That's big time. Okay, okay. What about you, Alan?
I enjoyed going to Massanutten Resorts and doing zip lining and stuff like that.
What is zip lining?
Like, you're on a line, and then you have a harness, and then you go down.
So you're in a line, and you're zipping across the air. Is that why they call it zip lining?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, great. What about you, Nia? What did you enjoy most about your summer, besides sleeping in?
Well, I enjoyed all the traveling we did and spending time with family at our family reunions.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds like you all had a packed summer. You had a lot of things that were enjoyable for the summertime. Now that summer is winding down and we're coming to the last few days of your summer vacation from school, what are you looking forward to most for this upcoming school year? And Aaron, we'll start with you again. What are you looking forward to the most as you approach? Well, let me ask this one question. What grade are you going into?
Fifth.
You're going into fifth grade? Okay, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to see my friends again and to get a better education in school and to get all A's.
Oh, get all A's. Okay. So that's your goal for the school year, is to get all A's?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know Mom and Dad will be happy about that. All right. Absolutely. Isaiah, what are you looking forward to? What grade are you going into, Isaiah?
I'm going into the sixth grade.
Wow. So that means you're starting middle school.
Yes.
Okay. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to meeting new people and learning a new language.
Oh, wow. What language will you be learning?
Japanese.
Okay, okay. That's big time, Japanese. What about you, Alan?
I'm looking forward to seeing my friends, meeting my new teachers, and learning Spanish.
Wow, learning Spanish. So do you feel it's important, Alan, to be able to learn a new language?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. What about you, Nia?
I'm looking forward to see the changes in my new school and get smarter and wiser all throughout the year.
I'll get smarter and wiser all throughout the year. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Well, I'm glad to know that you are looking forward to those things. What are some of the things when you go back on your first day of school, think about last year. What are some of the first things that you think about or you do when you get to school? One of the first things, what is the challenge as far as getting used? You've been off all summer. You know, you had a chance to sleep in. You talked about the places where you all vacationed and where you went to. What are some of the things that you have to do to readjust, to get back into the habit of getting up early? What are some things that you have to do, Alan, to get ready, get yourself prepared for the school year?
You have to wake up early so then you can make it on time and make the bus and get to class on time.
And what happens if you miss the bus, Alan?
Then you have to get a ride to school and you might be late.
You have to get a ride. So do you call a cab? Does your limo come pick you up? What happens?
Hopefully your parents can take you.
Hopefully. So you're saying that if you don't do what you need to do, then ultimately it falls on your parents making sure you get there on time. Is that what happens?
Yes.
Okay. Mom and dad aren't too happy when that happens, are they?
No.
Okay. Okay. I got you. What about you, Aaron? What are some of the things you have to do to get used to getting back into the swing of things as far as school is concerned?
Well, I have to wake up early and I have to get situated back in the school and get my brain into the school stuff and learn.
Now, is there anything that you may do, Aaron, during the summertime that keeps your brain sharp, keeps your brain active? How do you keep your brain alert while you're on vacation?
Sometimes I go on this website that helps you with school during the summer, and it helps me with school stuff. It's called
coolmath.com. Okay, well, we need to get them as a sponsor since we're giving them some free publicity. So that's good. Coolmath.com. Everybody get that? All right, coolmath.com. So that's a good thing because we want to stay sharp. I know when I was in school back in the Stone Ages, we used to have to do book reports during the summertime. And we would have at least 7 or 8 books that we would have to read, and we had to do a full report. And I would always wait till the last 2 weeks of the summertime to get them done. So I don't know if you probably don't have that same process going on right now with where you are in school. But what about you, Neil? What do you have to do to get yourself ready for school?
Well, my school, for each year, they have a special amount of reading you have to do. For fourth grade, you have to read a novel, a nonfiction, and a biography in the summertime. And also, they give you this big packet of math work that you have to do during the summer, so your mind will keep on rolling and remember the facts that you learn, so you'll be ready for the school year.
Wow. So is your mind continue to roll, and are you remembering facts for the school year?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what that does that kind of give you a jump start when you get to school? Because it's kind of difficult if you don't do anything for the entire summer and you try to go back to school on day one, getting back into the swing of things. It makes it a little more challenging. So what about you, Isaiah? What are some of the things that you do to prepare to get yourself ready for the school year?
I go to bed earlier than I usually do during the summer. I set an alarm to wake up earlier, and I do a math packet, a math book.
Okay. Now, outside of the things that you do actually in school, are there any activities that you all like that go along with school, such as sports or dance or anything? It's very important that you have your extracurricular activities in addition to what you do at school. Is there anything, Alan, that you enjoy doing in addition to school during the school year that keeps you active?
Yeah, I play basketball and the drums, and this year I'm going to start tennis, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Now, Alan, do you find that athletics such as basketball and tennis, does that help you as far as even with school, just as far as staying active? I know when I was in school, when I played basketball, my grades were better during basketball season than when I was not in basketball season because I was so disciplined as far as practice. I had very little time to waste. Do you find the same thing happening with you?
Not really.
All right, good.
It just stays the same.
Wonderful. What about you, Aaron?
I play basketball, and now I'm playing soccer, and I do piano, and that helps me, with some stuff. In that sport, you have to use your mind and...
So, Aaron, has playing soccer and other sports, you mentioned basketball, has that helped you become a team player as far as learning how to share the ball and learning how to work with other people? Do you feel that that's helped you out at all?
Yes, it has.
Okay, okay. What about you, Nia? I know there's some extracurricular activities that you enjoy as well. What do you like to do in addition to your studies during the school year?
Well, I like to play basketball and baseball. Also, I do piano. I'm going to join the band and the choir this year.
Wow, you sound like you're going to be pretty busy. How about you, Isaiah?
I play basketball and baseball, and last year I did the choir and band.
Okay. Well, Yolanda, I want to take advantage of having you here in studio. As a parent, I know there are so many things that are going on with life as far as work and juggling, you know, work life, juggling being a parent, juggling getting the kids prepared for school. What are some of the things that did you have to do as a parent? We talked about what the kids have to do to get prepared for the school year. But as a parent, what are some of the things that you can think about that you have to do as far as getting ready and getting that mindset? Because, you know, it's not just the kids that have to shift the mindset. It's also us as parents that have to shift the mindset as well. So what are some of the things that that we have to do as parents?
As parents, we have to do way more than what they've just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I was telling someone that I'm not sure if I'm happy if with school, you know, starting again. Because there are so many things that it takes. You got to make sure that they have their school supplies. You have to make sure school clothes. You know, school is not only getting prepared mentally, but it's a financial responsibility too.
Amen.
And so, of course, all these activities that these wonderful young people just mentioned, that costs money. As well as making sure that they're registered for those events, making sure that they wake up, because as a parent, you're a little more, well, I'll speak for myself, a little more lenient on the wake up time. Camps, you know, don't start the same time the school starts. And so they got to get back in the habit of waking up. And as a parent, that's your responsibility to make sure that they're waking up, they're going to sleep, they're doing homework, and that, you know, all of those things that come with school and activities, that they still are making sure that they do everything they need to do and you do as a parent. So,
wow.
It's a handful.
It definitely is. How big is time management when it comes to, you know, having, you know, multiple children in school and calendars and knowing different events and meetings and orientations? How big is time management as parents and making sure that we do everything we're supposed to do?
It's huge, especially for those parents who work, because it's a full-time job. So you go to work and then you come back, and you heard these young people here talk about their activities. So to get them to basketball, or I heard baseball, you know, you have to make sure that you manage your time at work appropriately, so then you can get home, take them to those activities, as well as making sure that you're teaching your children time management skills. They need to know, you know, with their homework assignments and projects and the activities, and those activities you have to practice in order to make sure that you do well and what you're doing. So tennis and drums and all of those things, you have to make sure that your children manage their time as well and allowing time to practice to make sure that they're getting better. So it's a time management on the parent perspective, but also passing it on and teaching it to the children.
Wow. One more thing I want to ask you, Yolanda, as far as a parent, we have so many parents that are listening in right now. How important is it to play an active role with the school process as far as the teachers and administration really seeing a presence from the parent? How important have you found that being an act? I know you're a very active parent. You're very active with the school. Do you feel that makes a difference as far as how your child is treated? You know, it's a shame it has to be that way, but do you feel it's a difference as far as how your child may be treated or how the interaction takes place in the school system when they know that there's a parent that is on top of everything?
It is. I can't stress how important it is for you to be an active parent at your school, at your children's school. They need to see your face. Even if you say, I work and I can't do, you know, I can't be at every PTA meeting, I can't volunteer in the classroom, there's something you can do. That's making contact with the teachers, the principal, you know, occasionally popping your face, you know, into the school. But it is so important. And it's not only so the teachers and the principals know that you are are staying on top of, you know, what they're doing and what they're supposed to be doing, but that you also are making sure that your children are doing what they're supposed to do, and your children need to know that you're an active participant. That also teaches them as well that, you know, my parent may come up here. That's important, and sometimes your children may or may not act different when you're around. And the possibility that my parent is involved or my parent is going to hear about some of the things I'm doing is important, but it also starts setting up the tradition that they need to be involved once they have children. They need to be involved with their children's school as well. So it's extremely important.
Wow. Now, Isaiah, from the child's aspect, does it make a difference to you knowing that your parents are active and involved and really participating in your school year? Does that make a difference to you? Does that make you feel good?
Yes.
Good, good. How about you, Nia?
Yes.
Good, good. Kids of a few words. What about you, Aaron?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's good. Yes. All across the board. Alan, yes for you too?
Yes.
All right. All yeses. Yay. Okay. Good. Well, listen, this is what we're going to do now. We have a few callers that are on the line, and we want to make sure that we get to our callers. As I mentioned before, we have a jam-packed show. We are here live on the Eagle's Nest, WOLB 1010 AM. I am Arnold Jolivet II, your host. You can call in to 410-481-1010. That's 410-481-1010. What I'd like to do now, see, we have a caller on line two. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up Vicki Johnson, just Elder Vicki Johnson. She's actually one of our guests that are going to be in the show today. I just want to tell you a little bit about Elder Johnson, this awesome woman of God. This is actually one of her quotes. It says, "When you are full of him, when you show up, people can't tell where you end and where God begins, because out of the essence of that relationship flows the oil that God needs to manifest his essence." So I wanted to have Elder Vicki on the line today, because as we talk about our children going back to school and we talk about moving forward and what God has us to do, the whole foundation of the Eagle's Nest is really walking in your purpose and walking in your passion. And I've had a chance to follow Elder Johnson and some of her ministry and the work that she does. And I've just been so impressed and so motivated by her work. She's actually a best-selling author. She's a speaker. She's the founder of Girl Talk Unplugged. And she's also the associate pastor of women at Kingdom Worship Center in Towson, Maryland. And under the leadership of Bishop Ralph and Deborah Dennis, she has absolutely been able to do some incredible things with that ministry. So I'm excited to have her on the line today. And we welcome you right now, Elder Vicki, into the Eagle's Nest. How are you today?
I am blessed and excited to be hanging out with eagles. How about that? The older eagles and the young eagles.
That's it. That's it. We still have a little lift in our wings, Elder Vicki. So we're excited to have you on the air. We just really wanted you to come on to the show today to just share whatever God has on your heart. As you have had a chance to listen and hear, we have our young people in the studio. And I know that you are dedicated to working with the youth and the way that your ministry actually sows into our young people. So we just wanted to just hear from you today and also talk a little bit about what's going on with you and what's happening with your ministry.
Oh, thank you again so much for the opportunity. I've been listening to the young people and applaud them for their focused intention that I hear and their excitement to just be young people of excellence, and even to, you know, the parents who, you know, particularly the moms, because I'm a mom, but I just salute the spirit of excellence that I've heard as I've been listening. I think it's really valuable to be having this dialogue today in light of what's going on in our world, specifically in our country, particularly in Ferguson, St. Louis, you know, L.A., all over the place. It is so important for us to reiterate and announce over and over again that our young people are powerful, that, you know, they are abounding, that they are pursuing excellence, and that there's still so much hope. You know, what's going on can really be a distraction. But one of the things that I love about eagles is that eagles fly above the storm. And that is a dialogue that you create every week, Arnold, you know, for your listeners, for your guests. It's an invitation to fly above the storm. And we're certainly in a storm in our country, sometimes in our communities, even in our families, sometimes within our own minds and hearts. But the call today is to fly above the storm, and that requires you to acknowledge your uniqueness, to acknowledge that you are authentic and that you are powerful and that you are equipped to handle the storm. What does that look like? That looks like you're going to have to do some things alone. You're going to be called out to be a leader when it's more comfortable to be a follower. So as an eagle, you have to know that you're going to be called to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because you're a trailblazer, that you know, are an example for others to follow. Not only are you an example, but you know, you are called to be exempt from some things. There are things that others may be doing that you might not be allowed to do. You have to be separate so that you can be prepared. Preparation is key, because when it's time to produce, you won't have time to prepare. So I just love the theme of this conversation, and particularly going back to school and the call, the clarion call, if you will, for our parents and our guardians of our young people to be that of excellence, so that we can protect them, so that we can encourage and support them even in the midst of the storms that are going on in our world. And I just so applaud, again, the young people you have as guests today, and just expect greatness from each of them individually and collectively. We have a responsibility to leave our young people better and to give them a better experience than we had when we were their age. So I'm really committed to young people. You know, even here in my job that I get to do every day here at BET Networks, where I've been now for almost 18 years, I manage some of our campaigns that target our young people. So I'm out in the street doing grassroots mobilization, whether they're middle school, high school, college students. You know, it's just a message of hope that I like to carry wherever I go, and to allow them to know that, you know, what's coming is better than what's been, that the best is yet to come if you keep going. So be an example of excellence. Know that you're going to be exempt from some things. And finally, as you do that, the more you do that, God is faithful to continue to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. So enjoy being young. Enjoy, you know, I tell my daughter all the time, you know, you better enjoy your life while I'm financially responsible for it.
Absolutely.
You know, because the day is coming. Like, don't grow up too fast. The day is coming where you will have plenty of time to be responsible for your life. But I'm just grateful to have this small window of opportunity to share with you today.
Well, we thank you so much for being online. We are here with Elder Vicki Johnson in the Eagle's Nest at 1010 WOLB AM and WOLBBaltimore.com. Now, you mentioned, you talked a little bit about your corporate life, Elder Vicki. Mm-hmm. And just share with our audience a little bit. How do you juggle being a mom, being a professional, being in ministry? How are you able to juggle all those things? And we mentioned time management earlier. And you know, going back to Eagles and Eagles welcoming the storm when the storm comes. But what are some of the ways that you've been able to face the challenges? Because we know it hasn't all been rosy. You've been at BET for 18 years, and being a woman, an African-American woman, in the role that you have in corporate America, we know it's not easy and all the other challenges. But what is the mindset? What is the mindset of an eagle that you've had to be able to sustain you thus far during your career?
Well, the word that comes to me is discipline. It takes discipline, and it takes courage to walk out discipline. The other thing is understanding the power of delegation. You can't be everything at the same time to everyone. So you also have to be able to discern what the need is in that moment. And whatever the need is in that moment, that is the role that you allow to manifest. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't everything at the same time, yet he embodied the capacity to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist at the same time. But he never tried to do all of those things at once. He discerned the need in that moment, and that is what he manifested. And when the need was met, he kept moving. He stayed connected to people, and that's what I do. I don't try to be all of those things at once. When I'm here at work, you know, I'm doing this role. When I'm home, I'm a mom. You know, I'm a daughter to my parents. I'm a sister to my siblings. When I'm at church, I'm the associate pastor to women. You know, and when I'm in the midst of the women in my sacred sisterhood community of Girl Talk Unplugged, you know, I am their visionary leader. And then I'm a friend. So it's just being comfortable with being who you are, being authentic in who you are, so that your gifts and your talents that are given to us when we're born, that God can use them all for his glory. It is all to the glory of God that he might be made manifested in the earth, you know, so that people can be drawn to him. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. And I believe in having not an either or, but, you know, and all. I don't think you have to choose. I think you can be excellent to the glory of God in every area of your life. And I say all the time, if it's in your mind, then it's in your future. Because God is the author of our imaginations. So, yeah, that's how I do it. Discipline. It takes discipline to know when to shut down, shut off, when to replenish, you know, when to be focused, when to steal away. So it takes great discipline. And that came from me as an athlete. I played basketball in high school, came to college on a basketball scholarship.
What college was that, Elder Vicky? Please let the audience know.
Howard University.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure.
You know. Yeah, I'm a Lady Bison. But sports taught me a tremendous sense of discipline.
Absolutely. It, you know, discipline. We also talk about discipline and discipleship. You know, those words are so similar and have very similar meaning. So we thank you again for coming on to the Eagle's Nest. You are a true example that eagles only fly with eagles. And I always say you'll never see an eagle on the same perch with a pigeon. It just will not happen. Eagles
never.
Only fly with eagles. So again, we thank you for coming on to the Eagle's Nest. We welcome you to come in at any time to share with our listening audience. And we look forward to talking to you real soon. Now, mention how our young people, how our ladies, we know that you have a ministry, Girl Talk Unplugged. How can they get in contact with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at All Things Vicky, and it's V-I-K-K-I. Also on Facebook at Elder Vicky Johnson. And my group on Facebook is Girl Talk Unplugged, a Sacred Sisterhood. You can send a request to join me there. And very soon, in the next 30 days, actually, I'll be launching my new website, which is allthingsvicky.com. And again, that's V-I-K-K-I.
Awesome. We look forward to talking to you real soon, and can't wait to see the great things that God is doing with your ministry. So please, again, feel free to come into the Eagle's Nest anytime. And again, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. God bless you all.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. Again, my name is Arnold Jolivet II. We are live here in the Eagle's Nest at WOLB 1010 AM. We have a packed out studio. You can also catch us on the web at WOLBBaltimore.com. And I'm actually going to go back to the line just in a minute here. But I wanted to just ask the children who are here in the studio, how much of an impact have your teachers had in your learning process? Do you find that having a teacher that can relate to you, that can really help you along the process, has that been important to you as far as your teachers that you've had during your school year? Isaiah, have you found that it's been easier for you to have a teacher that you can relate to and it helps get the message across during the school year?
It's been very helpful.
Okay, great. How about you, Aaron?
It's been good.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably going to be the consensus across the area, though. So what I like to do now is go back to the line. I see we have on line two. We talked about juggling. We talked about parenthood. We talked about time management. We have actually one of the managing partners from the firm, Randall and Sonia, on the line. And we wanted to have her onto the line to just talk a little bit about her firm and what they do and how our listening audience can actually get in contact with them. Good and great legal representation is so important in the time that we live in. So having a great representation and someone who can actually handle legal matters for you in all areas is crucial. It's crucial in the world that we live in today. So let me just check the line to see if we have Kendra Randall Jolivet on the line. Are you on the line?
I am. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. So we're just sitting here having conversation with some of the young people who are in the studio today. So can you tell us a little bit about your firm and what you all do?
Sure, I will. I just want to say initially, though, that I am so impressed with the young people that you have in the studio. They are all just doing such a great, great job. So I look forward to hearing even more from them today.
Great, thank you.
And I'm a lawyer, and my law firm is Randall and Sonia LLC. And actually, if any of the young people are interested in becoming a lawyer, they should talk to us because we'd be happy to talk to young people and to encourage them and see how we can assist them in becoming attorneys, because we do need more and more and more in our society. But our law firm is in Baltimore, Maryland, and we've been practicing this firm for about 14 years. We're on Maryland Avenue in Baltimore, and we do family law, we do auto accidents, Social Security disability, we do workers' compensation, as well as wills, which in the African-American community, we really want everyone to get a will. Don't let people fight over you and your assets. Get a will. So we do a number of different areas, and what I always tell people is that if we can't help you, we can find somebody who will. So if you have any legal needs, please call us at Randall and Sonia.
All right. Can you give that telephone number and website out again, please?
Telephone number is 410-235-2220. That's 410-235-2220. You can also visit us on the web and learn a lot about our firm at www.randallsonier.com.
Awesome. We appreciate you coming onto the line, and we know that our listeners who are out there will definitely be getting in contact with you for their legal needs. So thanks for calling in again.
Thank you, and have a great school year, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a brief break, and we have a gentleman who just walked into the studio. We're going to share with him. We're going to talk a little bit about technology. We're going to talk about the Never Settle Club. And once we come back on the other side of this break, we'll be joined by the technology guru himself, Mr. Mario Armstrong. We'll be right back.
He will call you home.
1, 2, 1, 2. Here we go.
It's my time to rise. It's my time to shine. It's my time.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. We are live on the Eagle's Nest. My name is Arnold Jalbert II. We are live on WOLB 1010 AM, and you can catch us on the World Wide Web at WOLBBaltimore.com. As I mentioned before the break, we are joined in the studio with Mario Armstrong. Tell you a little bit about Mario. He's really somebody that doesn't need an introduction, but for those of you who don't know of Mr. Armstrong, before his career as a media personality, Mario worked in the tech industry for more than 12 years and was the first chief technology officer of Baltimore City for then Mayor Martin O'Malley, now Governor O'Malley. Mario also served as IT director for the state of Maryland's tourism department. Additionally, Mario was one of six people chosen from the United States to be part of a technology delegation and meet with tech entrepreneurs in Seoul, South Korea to discuss new international business partnerships. So Mario is an Emmy award-winning TV show host. He's a commentator. You can see him on the Today Show, CNN, HLN, Telemundo, PBS, the Home Shopping Network. You can see him. You can catch him everywhere. So we are excited to have him here live in studio. He's a lifelong friend, and yes, I consider indeed. Him a brother. Absolutely. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the Eagle's Nest, Mario. How are you today?
Arnold, man, I got to tell you, this is amazing to be in the same studio with you. We go way back. Our families go back. and just, you know, the stock that you're from and the stock that I'm from. We're true Baltimoreans. We understand it. We live it. We breathe it. We bleed it. And to be invited onto the Eagles Nest, something that's very positive in its format, is exactly what I've always been about. I've always kind of said, like, you know, if Oprah was more into technology, that's kind of who I really am. I'm kind of like the combination of, say, like a Steve Jobs and an Oprah Winfrey all together, because I'm all about helping our communities understand the power of how they can use technology to better their life. It's not just about buying products or consuming products. It's more about how do you use technology in a way that can actually help you advance oneself. So there's the inspiration, the motivation, and the sympathy and the empathy to care, but how do you use technology in a world that's so fast-paced that you don't get left behind, that you don't become illiterate? And so that has been my mission, is really to kind of blend the two, help people be motivated, help people be empowered, find that positive connection, but then also leverage technology to move on your goals and your dreams a lot faster. And that's how we got to the whole idea of the Never Settle Club, which is kind of like the culmination of all of that.
Okay, well, let's go back, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing that we always talk about here on the Eagle's Nest is really following your passion, following your purpose, not just following money, because yep. We know that if you go after your purpose, if you go after your passion, the money will absolutely follow. So
there's something to that too, right? I don't mean to cut you off, but because somebody told me early on, and I don't believe in this. I don't actually believe this, and I don't think that you're saying this, but I just want to clarify. For me, when I say make meaning, not money, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that the money won't come. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people that are pursuing their passion that are broke.
Right.
You know, so you do need to think mm-hmm. how you're going to create some revenue streams.
Right.
But what I'm hearing from you is you don't start with that first.
Exactly.
You start with the impact, what's authentic to mm-hmm. you. Too many people are trying to do something that's not authentic to them. If you stay with what's authentic to you, it's going to feel natural. It's going to be easier for you to deal with those hard knocks and those tough times, and more importantly, you'll be able to actually identify ways you can generate revenue. It's the ones that just say, do your thing,
right.
And it'll, you know, it's right. gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. No, you have to make it happen. You have to plan
right.
it out. That's
right,
absolutely
man.
What we're saying. And so going back to that, I want to go back a little bit to the beginning. Because you have so many people that have an idea, they have a goal, they feel like they have a purpose, but so many, you have more business ideas, you have more ministries, you have more organizations that are in the cemetery than have ever come to pass.
Right.
So really, how did it begin from inception with you, with having the idea of that you wanted to get involved with technology, that you wanted to be able to give back? How did it all start? What was the mindset when you began, and what were some of the challenges that you faced in having it and really birthing it? And you're still birthing it. I mean,
yeah,
you're just getting started. It's not.
True.
I don't want to say like it's in its arrival, because success is a process.
That's
so
right.
How did it
yeah.
all start?
Yeah, I think it starts in your home. For me, it did. Or you could take that outside of the home and say your environment. What is your environment? What are you fostering for your kids? I was beneficial enough to have my mom and dad really embrace the curiosity that I had as a kid. Instead of them tripping and being like, no, don't mess with the TV that we just spent, I was the one that was trying to figure out, like, how does this TV work? And I broke more things than I fixed.
Right.
And they could have been like, stop messing with the stereo. I don't want you messing with that. I just paid out of our hard-earned money for that. We're talking in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
It just wasn't flowing like that. So the fact that they would embrace my curiosity, knowing that it could damage some stuff that was hard-earned that they worked for, started there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then I realized that at that time, in the 80s and early 90s, that tech people really weren't social bodies. They were really people that were wearing white lab coats. They were in mainframe rooms. They were in these big computers scenarios and situations. And that just wasn't me. I was a way more personable, actionable, just a friendly person that wanted to hang with people. And it was more of an isolated career at the time. Now it's changed. But so I didn't want to do the engineering route for school's sake. So I went the communications, the radio and TV route
mm-hmm.
to talk about what I knew the engineers were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where the light bulb really for me hit, is when I realized I can actually educate people about something I'm knowledgeable about,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to be the engineer. I can
right.
actually be the person that can talk about what the engineers are doing and translate that to the average person so they understand what was going on.
Right.
And once that connection hit, I said, I think that's my lane. to be a communicator of how technology is affecting us.
Right. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the communication background kind of gives you that bridge to cross over to the engineering side, and you have the credibility where they'll be able to receive your message and hear what you have to say, because you have so many times the engineers and people in that field, they get that stigma of really not being able to. They have the ideas, they have the ability, but they might not be able to communicate it as well to the masses.
No, you're right.
For people who don't understand it. So that's really one thing that I found interesting about what you're doing, is that you're able to bridge that gap between the technology sector, the sector that knows about the technology, and also the sector that does not know about the technology, because so many times people are intimidated by technology.
It's a big fear.
Have you found that to be true?
It's so true. You're spot on, Arnold. I mean, everything you're saying is dead on point. Like, there's an intimidation factor with this technology. And it's not just a matter of using it. It's a matter of how is it being used against me? People are very skeptical about how technology can be used against them. And then there's this learning curve, or this generation gap, maybe even rather, where I'm sitting in a studio with you right now, full of young, intelligent, beautiful minds, and they got their devices out. Mm-hmm. Some parents might be like, put that down, put that away. But what are they doing on the devices? It all depends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are they really just having some relaxation and entertainment time? Or are they actually doing something that is actually giving them some educational value?
Right.
So you can't just automatically attack the device. You got to know why people are using these things, because there's power in these devices if they're tapped the right way.
Right.
And so that's what we've tried to do when I go on, like, the Today Show and stuff like that. I think you're right. It's like an engineer can't go on the Today Show and talk about a new app.
Right.
Like, you'll never understand what it's going on.
Right.
Or at least not understand enough of it.
Right.
But a translator, somebody that does have the credibility, that's worked in technology, that's been in the IT field for most of his life and career life, but has decided to be the translator of technology, can relate to a broader based audience on, you know, on like a national news show or something like that.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that about technology. We were in church a few weeks ago, and my son had his phone out, and I thought that he was playing on the phone. I was going to tell him to put the phone down, mm-hmm. but before I did that, I looked at what he was doing, and I saw he was actually taking notes on the sermon with his phone. So, you know, that's another example how if I could have just said, put that away.
Exactly.
But what he was doing, he was using that technology to take notes instead of playing a game. So that's so true what you're saying.
That's a beautiful story what you're saying, for a multitude of reasons. Number one, we've seen a lot of churches and organizations really embrace technology in a new way. We're seeing it, whether it's online sermons, whether people are using it for Instagram or reading the Bible or highlighting notes. And in this case, the fact that your son was in tune enough to be in the present. See, a lot of times we have these devices and people think that you're not in the present. They think that you're not understanding what's going on because you're on a device. So that must mean that you're not in the present. Mm-hmm. So here we have your son who's directly in the present, mm-hmm. soaking it all in, taking it all in, and saying, this is important. I need to jot this down. How do I do that? Well, what's natural to me is to grab my device, mm-hmm. so I can read this part of the sermon later, or this particular piece of the sermon really connected with me. So now he has that with him at any time that he needs to reflect or review, he has it. Right. So you're right. I'm so glad that you put yourself out there to say you could have mm-hmm. just jumped on him and be like, hey, put that away. And then you realize, what is he actually doing?
Right. One of the things that we talked about in going back to school is dealing with technology. So what are some of the things that our children can use, or even our parents can use for technology wise, as far as helping as we come upon this upcoming school year?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because look, the bottom line is if you didn't grow up with technology in your household, that's understandable. But do not deprive the young ones of having technology in the household. You may not fully understand it, and I get that, but this is the equivalent of a notebook and a piece and a pen and paper. If kids cannot grow up knowing how to use technology to solve problems, to do research, to prepare for a test, to be able to explore the world around them and get diverse information and be able to disseminate what's real, what's not real, if they don't get that exposure early, in my view, they're going to be illiterate.
Wow.
If your kid already knows how to read and write, but they don't know how to use the computer well, that to me is definitely a form of illiteracy. Mm-hmm. And what we don't want to do is be put to the side or miss out on opportunities simply because we don't know how to use the technology. I'm not saying everyone needs to be an engineer. I want to be clear. I'm just saying they need to know how to use the technology in their daily life and in their education. So I think as we think about going back to school, you really need to understand, first and foremost, I tell parents all the time, don't buy tech just for the sake of buying it because you'll waste money. Mm-hmm. Buy a computer that's going to help your child with what they actually need. So if you know your kid is maybe struggling in math, then you want to buy a computer that's and get the right programs. It's not the computer more than it's the programs that you really need to invest in. So really understand each child, understand your kid and what they really need, and then find the right technology apps or software that can help benefit them. As it relates to, you know, in computers nowadays, we're talking under $300. In some cases, you can buy a computer. You can get them refurbished as well, and there are a lot of places where you can get them. And if that's too expensive, then start looking at the e-reader devices, like Amazon Kindle e-readers. Some, those things can still go into the internet. They can still get books. They can still do a lot of things that a full-blown computer can do.
Okay, that's awesome. So as parents also, we need to make sure that we're up on technology as well.
Yeah, it's true.
To make sure that we can explain that, or, you know, a lot of times my kids come to me with their homework and I'm looking at it like, wow, you know, I had to dust off, you know, the memory banks to be able to make sure I'm helping them with their homework. And then, you know, they come back and say, well, how was your homework? And they say, oh, it was all wrong. You know, right. So I have to make sure that I'm up to date with technology as well. So when we talk about that, share a little bit about what's going on with the Never Settle Club, how it started, what was the birthplace of the Never Settle Club, and what actually is it?
Yeah, so the Never Settle Club is a phrase that I came up with. You can go to neversettleclub.com. You can actually watch a video there to really get full explanation. But the bottom line with it is, I was tired, Arnold, of seeing, you know, the reason why you do this Eagle's Nest is not for Arnold Jolivet.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you do the Eagle's Nest is to uplift the community, to bring information. Knowledge is power, and you want to be a funnel for that. You are a source for that. And so I was saying to myself, you know, how can we help people that have great ideas but never have had the exposure to really capitalize on those ideas, take them to the next level, or be able to monetize that idea, whether it's a full-blown business or whether you're working on a side gig, you're doing your 9-to-5, but you have this passion, this dream, but you haven't figured out how to make money to be able to nearly equate what you make as a living.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't take the risk to just go and do it. So we wanted to create a club that would break down, make it very practical and simple with tried and true steps, small steps that will give you progress to actually profiting from your passion. But the first thing is what we do in the Never Settle Club, it's a group that's online. Anyone can join. So you can go to if you're on Facebook, just go to Facebook and in the search bar, just look for, just type in the Never Settle Club, or go to facebook.com/groups. Never Settle Club, and you'll get right to it. And we have 1,500 people in the club. It's all positive. People are uplifting each other. People are learning about each other's businesses, each other's ideas. But what we do each week is we give them a video lesson. Mm-hmm. So I do a video lesson with homework.
Okay.
So there's a theme for every week.
Okay.
And every week we give them homework. And then you have that week to get that homework done and upload your homework to the Facebook group so that the community can see what you're working on and then respond to that and comment on it and support you and maybe even share some other ideas that you didn't think about before.
Okay.
And then every Friday at the end of the week, we do a live on the web Q&A with me for any questions.
So it sounds like it's very interactive then.
Very interactive. It's got to be for me, right? Like the technology person, I didn't want to do something that felt like we were just pushing information to people. We wanted to get things back from people. So we have people that are starting hair salons, to all the way over to people that are starting developing new apps, to people that consult businesses, to people that are doing nonprofits, and people know what they're passionate about, but they haven't been able to take the steps to make that something they can monetize. And I think when we do our program, our first week is called Get Clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And in our first week, we teach you why it's important. I'm going to show it to you right now, to make a vision board.
Yes.
So I don't know how many people, all the kids in the studio, like, let me check it out. So I don't know how many people actually make a vision board, but this is my vision board. So for those of you that can't see it, I have in the center of this poster board, I have a picture of my family because that's the most important thing to me. But then I have words like impact, people, faith. I have a picture of someone meditating because I'm big into meditation and getting the calmness in my mind. But then I have people like Bill Gates, Kanye West, Oprah, Will Smith, a vacation home. I'm a big DJ, so I love to play my music. So there's a mixer there. There's a Ferrari there because I want my sports car.
Right.
This is aspirational and inspirational objects that are that can be tangible, or in other cases like faith and people and impact, these are words, non-tangible, but mean something to me that drives my vision. And so I see this every morning when I wake up. Wow. And this was part of the first week's homework that we had people do. And you could just see the light bulbs from people like, I didn't realize that I'm so passionate about this one thing. And now going through the five-week program, they're actually executing on their dreams, and they're making it happen. So it, it does really feel incredible that you can use technology in this way to cultivate a community of positivity online to help people chase down their passion and then figure out ways to monetize that.
Wow. And one thing I always tell my children, Mary, is you don't get what you want, you get what you picture.
And that's
so
good,
when you say you don't get what you want, you get what you picture.
Nobody
take
that. That's an Arnold Jolivet quotable right there.
Well, no, I can't take full credit for that, but it's so true. You know, the vision board, when you look at that vision board every single day, you know, it's what your subconscious mind focuses on.
That's right.
And then you're going to get whatever it is you picture.
That's
So it's going to come to pass. So I'm so excited. You just made me want to update my vision board. I have a vision board, but I need to update the vision board.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, it's a constant journey, right? Your success is constantly evolving. What you aspire to be or what you aspire to do should be changing as you as a human change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like updating your resume.
Yep.
You know, your resume two years ago, it's outdated.
It's outdated.
It doesn't apply to
you
anymore.
Right.
So I think we have a couple callers on the line. Let me just see.
Right.
We're here live with Mario Armstrong. We're going to go to line one to Brother Jason. Brother Jason, welcome to the Eagle's Nest. Are you on the line, Brother Jason? All right, Brother Jason's not on the line. Let's check back with him. Let's go to line three, and we have Baba on line three. Welcome to the show. All right, we're going to come back to Baba on line three. So I want to go back into this, and I looked at the Never Settled Club website, and I saw you had certain weeks, you had names such as Passion, you had Relentless, you had Fail Fast,
all those
different things that you had for the website, for the Never Settle Club. Talk a little bit about when you say relentless. What does that mean pertaining to Never Settle Club?
Yeah, so that was in week five when we were saying, okay, you've gone through a lot of steps already, so how do you be relentless? Because now the real work comes into play, because now you're out there trying your ideas. You're going to have dream killers that are out there that don't understand what you're trying to accomplish and where you're trying to go. So they're going to tell you things like, oh, you can't accomplish that, or you can't do that, or that's too big of an idea. And an unfortunate thing is we can have these dream killers right in our home, and they don't know they're dream killing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do because they're just being negative. They don't want to see you be successful. And those are people that you need to just get away from anyway, because that negative energy is just going to pull you down.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have people that don't understand entrepreneurship, don't understand chasing a vision, don't understand maybe taking some risks and pursuing that. And so when you have people dream killing on you, it's hard to find that support. So what we were doing by be relentless, that means you cannot give up. The hard work, you just went through a 5-week course online. Now the work, and you thought it was hard getting through, being transparent with yourself, going through all the different things. We have people looking in the mirror, questioning what they've been doing with their life the last 25 years.
Wow.
You know, we have people that are in our group that range from 25 to 67 years old in our group. And we just had a new member join today, 72. They don't want to give up. They're like, I got this body of experience, but I've always had this passion to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I really generate some income? And so we have a formula on how you can actually identify. If you have five different ideas, we give you a simple formula that you can apply to any idea to understand how much work, energy, capital, resources might it take to pull off something that you're very passionate about if it does, in fact, have a market potential.
Right.
Some of your ideas may not have a market potential, and there's no reason to even really go into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the be relentless, and also with Fail Fast, the whole idea of saying something negative, people look at me, we got a t-shirt line now with Fail Fast shirts for the Never Settle Club, and people are like, what? Why would I want to fail fast?
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to succeed only as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
We teach our kids only to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't embrace the idea of not just failure, because a lot of parents do embrace failing and knowing how to lose and stuff like that. I'm talking about failing fast. That means trying something. Oh, it's not working. Let me get up, adjust, and go do it another way.
Right.
Not giving up and not calling it quits, but understanding that that failure is going to bring you the big success if you're able to quickly learn from it and adapt from it. In the technology field, it happens all the time. We throw out an app. If 3,000 people start using the app, and 65%, because we'll know, don't are clicking on a particular thing that's not working, that's failing. Mm-hmm. So how do we fix that fast? So it's that same technology mentality that we use to develop software and stuff that I'm just saying, apply that to life. Fail fast because you won't, you'll learn quicker, you'll be successful longer, mm-hmm. and the mentality is that I'm not going to give up. So these themes, these weeks, these words that you're talking about are all about speaking to positivity and all about having a particular message associated with each week of the club.
Wow, and as you mentioned, we have children here in the studio that are on their tablets and on their devices. Is there an age restriction or age limit for the Never Settle Club? Can someone who's a teenager get into the Never Settle Club?
You know, this is something, man, this is really good because one of the things that we've done for 6 years now is something called Dream Create Go. And this is our this is a kind of a nonprofit initiative that we do just for kids. And it's all about it's all about getting them to see, I don't care if your kid is into fashion or into music or into law or into medicine, I can help them understand how technology is playing a role in a career or an interest that they may have. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of kids that maybe want to, you know, pursue being in the music business. But shouldn't we be doing a good job teaching them how music is being made? Mm-hmm. And when I talk to someone like a Will I Am or when I sit down with 50 Cent, they'll tell me that the engineer is the most important person in the room.
Wow.
It's not the lyrics.
Right.
It's Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
You know, it's the engineer that's actually in that room. Mm-hmm. And Dre will tell you it's three other dudes that are beside him
right.
that are helping him tweak the music. So I think, you know, looking at kids' passion, Dream Create Go is the thing that we do for kids. For the club, it's really adult based right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have kids that you want to have in this type of positive thing, hit me on my website or just send me an email. My website's MarioArmstrong.com.
Okay.
And if we do see that there's enough interest from the listenership, then we'll create a group because Facebook, you're supposed to be
sure
13 and over to get in anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Supposed to be.
Okay. Allegedly.
But we could definitely, I like the idea of doing that.
And the reason I mention that is because, you know, if we were to ask the children that are here in the studio today, what do they want to be when they grow up? You know, mm-hmm. they would tell us about their dreams, their goals, their aspirations,
right.
and where they want to travel.
No, right.
And you know, you have say most people are you know, at 25, they're 25 to 65. At 65, the dream is gone. You know, they're dead at 25, buried at 65.
Yep.
So it's just so important when you talk about technology. I mean, my children know how to work the iPhone and iPad better than I do.
Right.
You know, so they're so much more fertile to receive. What it is that you're teaching, because it sounds like to me that the Never Settle Club is more of a lifestyle, more of a mindset than anything.
It is more of a mindset and more of a lifestyle, and we're just bringing technology into that because we want to see people change their lives. We want to see people take control of their lives. And you're right. It's never too late to give up on a particular passion that you have. It's just hard to do it when you're on an island by yourself.
Sure.
And so that's why this support group, this Never Settle Club, is a support group so that you don't have to feel like you're on that island. Oftentimes I tell people, look, in order to really be successful in my eyes, you got to do a couple things. One, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So put yourself in situations where you need to grow. So for those of you that need a physical location to meet up with people, have you checked out meetup.com? Go to meetup.com, plug in your favorite interests, and you can find other people doing certain things.
Okay, absolutely. Again, we're here with Mario Armstrong. We want to thank everyone who came into the studio. I wish we had some more time. Can we get you to come back again
to do a whole segment, man?
We appreciate that.
We didn't even get to start dropping like the steps that people can take to
take control.
Of their life.
We need a whole hour, 2 hours to get into this. But again, we want to thank everyone that came in the studio. I'd like to thank Yolanda Sonier. I'd like to thank Alan, Aaron, Nia, Isaiah, our callers, those that called in. We'd like to thank Elder Vicky Johnson, Kendra Randall Jolivet that called into the studio, all those who took a part, but more importantly, our listeners, those of you who make the show go. And again, we will see you on the next edition of The Eagle's Nest. As we always close out, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. For it isn't about size, that you win or you fail, but be the best at whatever you are. Take care, take charge, and God bless. We'll see you next week. WOLB.